January 3rd. If you weren't here January 3rd, what is that? Wednesday night, the first service of the new year. We had an evening Sunday night, which was the 31st, and then we had a Wednesday night service. I was going to re-preach it today, and the Lord said, don't re-preach that. And I said, but Lord, that's pretty important. He said, if they missed it, they missed it. Tell them to watch live stream. I want you to talk about something else today. So if you missed it, I shared some very important things about the symbolism of Carmel, Mount Carmel. This is our Carmel year. And about where we're leaving Bethel and coming into Carmel and some different things. Please watch Wednesday, January 3rd if you haven't. If you were here, watch it again, because there was a lot of stuff mentioned. You probably won't get it all in the first feeding. But please, if you're a member of this congregation and if you consider yourself to be faithful, you want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you through me. And the only way you're going to hear that is by listening in the services. If you're not here, watch the live stream. Please, everybody, watch the third, because I'm not repeating that. Let me say something to you here. Dad Hagen said that at the beginning of every year, he would seek God about the following year. He would lay before God what he was doing, and he would ask God, should I do less of this, more of this? Should I stop this? Should I add this? And he really went through every area of his ministry and of his life, and he laid it before the Lord, and he waited on the Lord until the Lord revealed to him tweaks, changes, adjustments that needed to be made. Now, let me tell you something. I've heard Pastor Nancy say that. I've heard Jerry Savelle say that for years. Pastors, ministers, everybody, you should wait before the Lord at the beginning of the year. Can I just be real direct and frank with you? Nobody does that. I don't do that. I tell you to do it, but you don't do it. I know you don't. Nobody does it. Pastor Nancy probably does it. But most ministers are just, can I tell you why? It's not that our hearts are wrong. It's that our society and our lives are so complicated and so busy. I'm being honest with you. Our society itself is so busy that people do not take the time to wait before the Lord. And let me tell you, it's going to take some substantial, at times, amounts of time. Other times may not take so much, but I've learned that it can take and often does take substantial periods of waiting on God. And because we're so busy with our lives and everything going on, it does not help us. Our society and our schedules, the trends of our society do not aid us in waiting on God. It discourages that, because waiting on God takes time, and most people are so in a rush all the time. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Not only do they not have the time to wait on God, but let me tell you something. Even if you've tried to wait on God, but your mind is like a zzzz because you're so busy, you will find it really hard to wait for any length of time because you feel like you're wasting time and you're not really getting anything and you're not developing anything, you're not learning anything, you're not doing anything. And we're so productive in nature that our minds fight us to just sit before the Lord, be calm, worship Him, and wait. Our minds fight us saying you're wasting time. Our schedules fight us because we've got so many things vying for our attention. And I'm telling you, those are the reasons why, even though we know we should, we don't. Yeah. And most ministers don't. And if most ministers don't, I can tell you most Christians don't. And I have a confession to you. I have a confession to say to you. I haven't done that the way I should have as a pastor over the years. Now, what I have done is prayed. But when I'm not sure about something, what happens is I pray a little bit more, and then I pray a little bit more, and then when I don't have an answer, I just say, well, Lord, you must be okay with it because you're not telling me not to. And then I just run ahead. Or He'll say something to me halfway through the year, maybe not at the beginning of the year. And instead of saying, well, just let me pray about this, because I'm excited, and because my personality is a racehorse. Pastor Nancy's personality is not a racehorse. She is much slower. She is much calmer. She takes her time on everything, much to my chagrin, because I'm still waiting for the 2024 calendar from her, and she won't give it to me. And I said, Pastor, I've got to book tickets. I've got to plan my life. And her answer very simply was, wait. But I've got, Pastor, wait. I'm not letting you or my staff or anyone push me into decisions. I'm going to wait till I know. Now, that's what keeps her safe.
Yes.
That's what keeps her healthy. That's what keeps her finances strong. That's what keeps her in the perfect will of God. Listen, instead of the permissive will of God. Because the Bible talks about his good, perfect, and acceptable. That means that there is a permissive, what we in modern day coin as a permissive. That means God permits things. But it's not his highest and his best. And he'll even help you and bless you in the permissive. And angels to a measure, not as much as the perfect, but they'll even work with you to some measure in the permissive because God wants to bless us as far as he can.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem is we're too rushed, our schedules demand too much, and then our minds are too busy and too running to really sit and wait. And I've been guilty of it. And mature spiritual people, the giants that we call giants, they all take that time. And so the Lord really dealt with me very sternly about this recently in December. And he said, that's how mistakes are made, son. He said, when people get out of my perfect will and timing and into my permissive will, I'll work with them as far as I can. But many times things don't work out the way that they thought. Their prosperity doesn't work right. Their faith doesn't work right. And they say, this message doesn't work. What's wrong? You know, and they'll blame the preacher. They'll blame the church. But really, they've only got themselves to blame because the message does work. But you've got to be in the right place. Are you listening to me? And he, in December, when all the stuff was going on with the staff changes and everything, in addition to all of that, God really got on my case more than he ever has in all my years, 32 years of preaching. He got on my case and he said, 2024 is a new year. Now, it's a change in the spirit. It's a phase, another phase of your ministry. You don't have the luxury anymore of making mistakes. And I said, but Lord, what do you mean making mistakes? What mistakes have I made? And he said, he didn't tell me what the mistakes were. He said, if you'll wait before me, I'm going to have to remove some things. And I said, my wife? I didn't say that. No, she's not. No. Some of you look really serious. I had to lighten it up. He said, I'm going to have to remove some things. And I said, Lord, okay. Now listen to this phrase that he said to me. This is in December while I was in Israel. He said, I need you to pray some things out. And I said, okay, that's fine. I will. And then he said, no, you don't understand what I'm saying, son. He said, I need you to pray some things out. And he said, you need to do both. Pray some things out and pray some things out. He said, really, what you're doing is praying some things in and praying some things out. And he said, there are things attached to you that displease me. I said, what do you mean? Are you talking about relationships? Like, I didn't know what he went over. And he said, there are activities attached to you that displease me because they're not my perfect will for your future, but they are my permissive will.
Yeah.
And I'm blessing you as far as I can.
Yeah.
But if you don't get those things out, yeah, it's going to be like an anchor that is dropped down and the ship's trying to sail, but it's got some kind of weight on it and it's dragging that and it doesn't have full acceleration the way it needs to. And he said, this year is a different year in the spirit and I need you to really take the time. You've not done it before. You've done a little bit of it, but you've never really done it the way Dad Hagen talks about it. You need to take the time to find out what needs to be removed, what needs to be added. And he said, you need to do that for the staff, which I've been doing. He said, you need to do that in your marriage. You need to do that with your children. You need to do that with your business. You need to do that with your church. You need to do that with your international ministry, your domestic ministry. You need to do that in all the departments of the church. That's a lot. For you to wait on God with all of that stuff, that is a lot. And that takes a lot of time. So I have to prioritize what are the most important things and then work my way down the list because it's going to take me months to get to the bottom of that list.
Yeah.
But I know some things are very time sensitive and they're very urgent, the staff being the first thing. And I was waiting on God about that in December because I knew some changes had to happen in the new year and then rearranging the music stuff and doing other things. But then, of course, this domestic thing of the local church, there was some important areas that I needed to focus on right away that I'm still praying out. And then the international, there's some things that I need to pray out. But I'm saying all this to say this, that people pay a price in their health, in their finances, in if there's something planted here that wasn't really God's perfect. It's not just that you're engaging in something that he didn't really author, But that takes the place of something else that is supposed to be planted here but can't get in because this thing is taking up all the space. So you're not just in as permissive, you're missing some of the perfect. And that's why it's so important that you as an individual do this. What do you think I'm preaching this just for your health? Just for you going to say amen? I'm preaching this because I'm telling you that I have to do this, but I'm telling you if you're smart, you will start to do this. About your businesses, about the company you work for, your own company if you own it, about your relationships. Some of you, you need to get rid of some stuff. They are holding you back. Your marriages, how to make them better. Your children, how to help, strategies to turn situations. I'm doing that too for my children. Areas with how you treat the local church, what you're doing. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you'll take the time, and I know that most people probably won't do this, but my job is not to make you do it. My job is to tell you to do it. If you decide to do it, you'll be blessed. If you don't decide to do it, you'll just keep going on the same way you've always gone. But we are positioned at a time for increase. But if you don't follow the leading of the Spirit and get out what he wants you to get out and get in what he wants you to get in, that increase is going to be determined on your following the Spirit. Right. It's not determined just because we're in the year 2024. Yeah. So this is very important, and we will pay a price if we don't do this. And so I just want you to know that I have... For lack of a better word, when I met with the board of directors, one of them said to me, Pastor, it's like you've matured. And that was a great compliment to me. Because I don't need you to tell me I'm this preacher or that preacher or this whatever. What I'm wanting is to grow up in Christ. And I want to become a more mature minister of the gospel as the years pass and make less mistakes, not more mistakes. And I have made mistakes. And by the way, everybody has, including you. Even in his 70s, Dad Hagen said, I still didn't wait on God the way I should have about this situation, about that situation. I made a mistake. I mean, this is Kenneth Hagen, the Platinum Standard, in his 70s. He died at 87, saying that he didn't wait on God enough. So I guess, you know, we got to kind of cut ourselves a bit of some slack, like not beat ourselves up. But at the same time, don't cut yourself so much slack where you're just a slacker. And now everything is, everything's fine. No, that we should be hard on ourselves, but not to the point of legalism and guilt and condemnation. But we should be hard on ourselves to improve. Yes. And I have to improve. I have to mature in some areas. And I'm doing it. And this camp meeting really helped me. What's just happened? Because there was some instruction. There was some correction. There was some warnings that came to me. Not in the main services, but privately and in my hotel room, like real privately, just me and God. And I've had to really seriously look at some things and make some adjustments. And I'm going to continue. Amen. I don't know how much I'll get to tell you today, but I'm certainly going to try. But I'd like to read you just a couple very quick, they're not long, less than 5 minutes. This is a book that I would really encourage you all to get. You can get it on, what is this, Jennifer? Kindle. You can get it if it's in our bookstore. You can order directly from Kenneth Hagin Ministries, but the Kindle is probably the fastest and easiest. You can have it in about 12 seconds. And it's called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. I know many of you have it, but I would strongly encourage you to read it again. And I just want to read a couple of short excerpts from it. You're still with me? You're still okay? On July 16th, the Thursday morning preceding our annual camp meeting, 1987, I was awakened and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I began to pray in the Spirit. As I prayed in the Spirit in other tongues, I kept saying these words over in English. He's interpreting his tongues. Plans and purposes, plans and purposes. I said to the Lord, Lord, I know that's not all of it. I know that isn't all of it. And I kept on praying in tongues. Finally, I prayed out in English, plans, purposes, and pursuits. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. When I said the word pursuits, I was caught up in the Spirit, and I began to see and understand man's plans as they related to God's plans. You hear that?
Yeah.
Your plans may not be God's plans.
No.
I could see that many times men had plans that were good and even thoroughly scriptural, but they were not God's plans. Can you have a scriptural plan and it not be God's perfect will? You better believe you can. In the 1987 vision later, he says, with the Lord, Jesus told me some things that he's wanting to do in this day in the church, his plans, and why he has not been able to do them. If the body of Christ would cooperate with God and get in line with his plan and his purposes and pursue that plan, then God would be able to accomplish what he wants to do in our day. Oh, there is a move of the Spirit of God, dear friends, but we can't just jump into it. God wants us to get there, and that is why we have to follow his plans, his purposes, and pursue them. In the visitation, Jesus told me, quote, this move will be lost unless the people are taught how to move with my Spirit. There will be some who will read this and just be as lifeless as they ever were. Others will say, isn't that marvelous? And do nothing to follow after God's plans, purposes, and pursuits for their lives. But there will be some that read this, that catch on and take hold of what the Lord is saying through these pages, and will, and in trying to act, what the Lord is trying to act, get across, excuse me, to the body of Christ in this hour, and they will get the plan of God for their lives and follow after that. Those who do will be ready for the move of God that he is wanting to bring in the earth. The body of Christ has not seen anything like what we will see when we get to that place where we have God's plan and purpose, not only for our lives, but also for our local churches, and we are pursuing that plan. Last paragraph. The Lord spoke to me and said, listen, this is very important. I bless all of my people as far as I can. But the reason there is not the move of God and the depth of the flow of the Spirit and the fullness of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost today is because men do not take time to hear from me. And they do not take time to follow my plan set forth in the Scriptures. The more closely you follow my plan, the more of my power will be in demonstration and in manifestation. Many times the reason people fail and the reason ministries fail is because they have the wrong plan, pursuit, purpose, and motive. Whatever you are doing for God, ask yourself, is this God's plan? And we don't talk about that much because we're just running. And we've got these verses, run with the vision. And you do need to run with the vision, but maybe we need to find out what the vision is first. And not just run because it's a good idea. You don't seem very excited. Now, I'll just list you a few things that I've said before, but I'm saying it for repeating sake so you can hear it. Why is 2024 so important? Well, first of all, there was a 15-year period from the time in 2004 that Dr. Dufresne prophesied over me in Peru about the mantle and the ants until 15 years of preparation. David had 15 years by the time he was anointed until he moved to Hebron and got anointed as king. 15 years serving Saul, 15 years being in the wilderness. All of that was a 15-year prep time. And God used that pattern with me. And in 2004, that first thing started in Peru about the mantle. And it was 15 years of prep time till 2019. The next year, the 16th year, we moved into certain things and that anointing came. Well, the same, I wouldn't have known this if he hadn't have said it, because I'm not trying to find connections here. But he said to me last year, he said, now that same parallel is going to apply from the time the church started in 2008. There's been 15 years of preparation. He's using the timeline when the mantle was announced until the mantle came. Then he said, now when the church started, which is a different timeline than the mantle, that was 2008. The mantle started 2004. But now he said, this 2008, there's been 15 years of preparation until 2023. And he said, just like after 15 years, you stepped into something more. So for the church, there's been 15 years of preparation. And in 2024, you'll step into something more. And I knew this 15 to 16, you know, 15 years prep, 16 years something. I knew this related to right now, where this is probably the only time it's ever going to happen in our ministries. It's already happened twice. It probably won't ever happen again in terms of that timeline. We got to pay attention. God is saying this year is an important year. That was one of the things that he said to me. Another was that when Elisha went to Bethel, then he left Bethel, he goes all the way across the other side of the country of Israel to Mount Carmel, which is on the coast. He went to a whole new location, a new geographic location. And the Lord said to me last year, he said, you're leaving 2023. And even though it just seems like you're going into another year, but in the spirit, you've gone into a whole new place. Are you with me? When Elisha, we've been following 7 years of his example from Bethel, Jericho, Jordan, the plain of Jordan, back to the river Jordan, back to Jericho, back to Bethel, 7 years from 17 to 23, right?
Yes.
But then he said to me in December of 2023, he said, the years of Elisha are ending and the years of Elijah have come. Why? Because now the details of our future are not recorded in the Elisha story. But he goes to Carmel because he's retracing the steps of his spiritual father, Elijah. Now we move from 2 Kings 2 back to 1 Kings 18. And now we look at what Elijah did in Carmel. And for the rest of Hebron, we're going to be focusing on what Elijah did in Carmel. For 7 years, we've been in 2 Kings 2. Now for the next five years, we're going to be from now till 28, we're going to be in 1 Kings 18 in terms of the prophetic overview of this church, because the years of Elisha have ended and the years of Elijah have come. See, there's a new season. 24 is that new season. The baton has been passed. I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's... Then, as well, the vineyard parable, or not parable, parallel, what the Jewish rules were, you plant a vineyard, the first 3 years you can't touch it, the fruit drops and dies to fertilize the soil. The fourth year you can take it, but it's a tithe. And the fifth and onwards year, it's increase. And the Lord said that 3 years of death, 21, 22, 23, because it started in the Hebron season, that started December 12th, 2020, but our first full year was 21. And we've been going through 3 years, and it's been a hard time, and it's been a lot of challenges and a lot of obstacles and a lot of things. It has been years of death. It really has. Dying to certain ambitions, dying to certain desires. Except if a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, Jesus said, it abides alone. But if it dies, I'll resurrect it and bear much fruit. There's been a season, but then he said, now in the fourth year, which is 2024, see, it's a new year. I'm giving you different reasons why this is an important year. From different elements and different parallels and different stories and different types and shadows in the scripture that God has spoken to me. This is a new year because it's the fourth year. It's a tithe year, but it's the beginning of the increase years. Because at least we're not letting the fruit fall and die on the ground. We're presenting it to the Lord. And there's reasons what that symbolically means. I won't get into all of that today. But I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the years of increase. We're in a new year. This is the fourth year. This is a very important moment. I'm trying to get you to see it. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord also said to me last year, this is just a reminder to you. He said, when the mantle came, you've had 3 years of idle. The engine started December 12, 2020. But we haven't gone nowhere. I thought we were at first, but we weren't. That's why I kept saying, well, Lord, nothing's really happening. Nothing's really happening. And he said to me one day, he said, you're idling. I'm warming the engine. You don't just hit the gas as soon as you turn the car on. I'm getting the engine warm. I'm getting you positioned. You're going through 3 years of death. There's seasons and timings with God. You don't just do it when you're ready. You do it when he's ready. But he said to me, now that you're in this new thing, this fourth year, this 2024, he said, it goes from idle. The engine's been running, but we're not making forward progress. He said, it's going to go into gear one. And when I was in the hotel room in this last set of meetings, just kind of thinking, Lord, I can't believe what you, especially on the Wednesday night when the meetings were over. They ended Wednesday night, and some things happened on that Wednesday night service. And I got to the hotel, I said, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you being so good to me? Why are you being so kind to me and honoring me? And just why are you blessing me the way you are? And he spoke to me just as loud as I'm talking to you. I mean, it was rhetorical. I didn't think he'd answer. I'm just talking to him. And he said, didn't I tell you that you're in gear one? Amen. Didn't I say that it's going to start making, you're going to start getting traction? It's going to start moving in a direction in 2024? I said, but Lord, this is the first week. He said, I'm not wasting time, son. Amen. He said, I'm not wasting any time to get this thing going. Amen. I want you to know this is a special year. The traction and the forward momentum has already started in the realm of the spirit. Amen. It's an important year. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And lastly, these are all different things, but all saying the same thing, but they're different. Yeah. About why this year is important. He said to me last year, this is a phase three. You're beginning phase three of your ministry. Think of every phase like a house. But Dr. Dufresne would say, in ministry, there's normally four phases. It doesn't have to be four, but typically there's four in a minister's life. And it's like a house. It's like a mansion. And in each phase, there's rooms. And as you're going through the years of the phase, you're going and exploring different rooms. And different rooms have different purposes, have different assignments, have different weaponry, have different things to help you fulfill your call. And so he said to me, this is the beginning of phase three right now. January 1st of this year was the beginning of phase three. That's a pretty big thing because it doesn't happen very often. And so just to let you know, because some of you don't maybe know, but from 91 to 2008, 17 years was my preparation phase. I hadn't even stepped into the first phase of ministry. God said to Jesus said to Dad Hagen, many of my own ministers never enter the first phase of their ministries. You don't step into the first phase until you've done a wilderness season called preparation. Jesus never came into his first phase, which is when he came in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and started ministering and started preaching until he had gone through 40 days in the wilderness. There's always a wilderness and there's always a prep to get you to your first phase. Different people have different lengths. For me, probably because I'm a little slow on the take, it took a long time. But hey, I'm in good company because Jesus's preparation was 18 years. From 12 to 30. He prepped 18 years to step into his first phase. I prepped 17 years from 1991 until 2008. When I stepped into pastoring this church, I stepped into my first phase of ministry. It was October 7th, 2008. I just want you to be aware of that because some people don't know the timeline. Then from 2008 to 2020, that was my first phase starting this church, and that was phase one. Then when that mantle came, I stepped into phase two. That was a very monumental moment. And that was December 12, 2020 until December 31st, 23. It was only a 3-year season. I mean, it's sometimes, you know, not all the years matched. It's not like every phase is a certain number of years. It's just based on the plan of God for your life. For me, it was 17 years of prep. And then it was 12 years of phase one and then 3 years of phase two. When that mantle came, that started another phase for me. And I thought that all of Hebron would be phase two. But he spoke to me last year and he said, no, when 2024 comes, that will be the beginning of your phase three. And I said, but Lord, doesn't it make sense to just let all of Hebron be one phase? And he said, in the natural mind, yes, but I'm doing something different. He said, because what has happened since the mantle came in these 3 years, listen to me, people. He said, this has been a hard season. And dear God, it has. In every area, at least for me. He said, this has been a hard season. He said, I'm separating it to show you that phase three is beginning because I want you to know that a brand new season is starting, a new phase is starting, a new mansion you're entering, new rooms to explore, and the years are going to get easier and they're going to get lighter and the blessing is going to flow more and you're going to get in my perfect will more and everything is changing. And that's why he said, this is the beginning of your phase three. So I already know, I haven't got into it with you yet because I haven't had time, but I will later. But I already know how long this phase is going to go, which usually you don't know. But he told me in advance. This phase goes from 2024, January 1st, until 2028. Amen. So this is going to be a 4 to 5 year phase until we finish Hebron. In the middle of 2028, we step into Jerusalem years, and that will be the beginning of my phase four and my final phase of ministry. And then Jesus is coming. And that phase, I don't know how long, it depends on how long Jesus takes. If he comes like I think in 33 or 34, then we'll have maybe 5 or 6 years. If he comes in 29, like all the other preachers are saying, I'll have 1 year. But I don't know, he might come in 2050, who knows? Nobody knows. Don't worry about it, just live like he's coming tomorrow. But I'm just letting you know that there has been a prep, there's been a phase one, there's been a phase two, and I've just stepped into phase three. You need to know that so that, as you say, well, why do I need to know that? That's your life. But if you're a member of my church, and if you're part of this family, you should know in the spirit where we're at. And this year is an important year because it marks a new mansion.
That's right.
With new rooms that we have just stepped through the threshold on. Praise God. I say all that. Now listen to me. Here's the key. It doesn't, just because 24 is important, for all the reasons I've just listed, just because this is a very important time for our church, this is the key, does not mean because it's an important year that we are going to be in the perfect will of God. And I think sometimes we get a little bit off because we're so focused on timings. And we're so excited about, okay, now we've entered it. We just assume, I know I do. Well, if I'm in this time and God has said all these things about this year, it's just going to happen. And you assume because you're in a certain time frame that it's automatically going to include with the time frame the perfect will of God. And that is a very, very serious error. Just because we're in the timing of God does not mean we're in the perfect will of God. We have got to wait before him and pray while we are, yes, in the time for him to do something. But we've still got to wait and say, Lord, what do you want out? And what do you want in? And what do you want tweaked that's already here? Because I want to walk in this perfect timing and accomplish what this year holds. But I can't just assume that I'm in the perfect will of God just because I entered it. Are you listening to me? And it's going to require prayer. Whether you like it or not, you know, I know a lot of churches don't tell you need to pray, and that's because they're carnal. Spiritual people pray. It is the nuclear core of your life. The word and prayer. And a lot of praying in the spirit. So it's going to require prayer. And he said, pray things out, which really means in. And then he said, pray things out. And he said, there are things attached to you that I don't like. Are you listening to me? So I'm almost done, at least this part. Internationally, I've been praying since June. Are you ready for this? June 2023, last June, Pastor Nancy stood in front of all the ministers in the service and said, and I'm not exactly quoting her, but this was the gist of it. Some of you ministers, God's going to take you back to the beginning of your ministries. And what happened then is going to happen again. And in greater measure, because there was a taste then, but now it's the full meal. And God said to me, go back to the beginning of your ministry and look what I did. And I looked and I studied. I mean, it took me a while. Look up old notes, look up old journal entries. And I realized that for exactly to the day, I mean, you couldn't make that up. No. From October 7th, 1991 to October 7th, 1996, exactly to the day, 5 years, which I didn't know until I researched that. I had more miracles in my ministry in 5 years than I've had in all the years since put together. I had more experiences in the international, and a lot of it was international. Yeah. More, some of it was domestic, but most of it was on foreign soil. Why? I don't know. God just called me there. And I had more experiences with God, more demonic manifestations and victories, more miracles, more healings, more signs and wonders in 5 years than all my ministries since put together. Yeah. And the Lord said, are you listening to me? Yeah. He said, what I gave you was a taste.
That's right.
That's what she said.
That's right.
It was a hors d'oeuvre. And there's been a season of many years now, from 1996 to 2023. How long is that? 96, 2006, 2016, 2026 minus 3 is 27. 27 years? Could it be that long? 27 years since those first 5 years. 27 years to be faithful. 27 years not to quit. 27 years not to cheat on my wife. 27 years not to steal church money. I'm being honest with you. 27 years to stay faithful to the ones that God planted me with. 27 years not to change my doctrine. 27 years to guard my humility and guard my heart and guard my mind and not lose my mind. At times I could have, believe me, the devil's attack was so strong. 27 long years since that first taste of power. And she said, by the Holy Ghost, look back to what he did. I didn't even know how many years it was. I had to go and look in journals. What was the beginning, Lord? And he said to me, 5. And I said, okay, well, let me look at the journals. And I did it. And it was to the exact day. 5 years. Exact to the day. The day I got back, 2 days after I got back from India, that season changed. I got back from India October 5th, 1996. Because my mother made me swear that I'd be back for my birthday. And I celebrated my birthday with her. And 2 days later, I got on the plane and flew to Australia to spend time with my grandmother before she died. 5 years. And I saw more power in those 5 years than I've seen in 27 years put together. And I didn't know as much back then as I do now. I didn't have the doctrine and the understanding of faith and dominion and all that stuff. I was just a little kid that didn't even know hardly how to find his way to church. But it's the power of God demonstrated mainly on the foreign fields. Are you listening to me? I'm almost done. Just stay with me for a minute. And he said by the Holy Ghost through Pastor Nancy, look back to the beginning. For what he did is a taste. The time has now come for the full meal. And I'm telling you, for 6 months, 6.5 months, I've been meditating on that saying, what do you mean? I went back to some of the miracles that I saw in that 5 years. I'm talking miracles. Miracles upon miracles. When I did my story, I shared some of them, but not all of them. And I said, Lord, you're telling me that's an hors d'oeuvre? And he said, son, you have no idea what's about to break loose. And it's mostly going to be on the foreign field. He said, because the pattern I had back then was 90% in the foreign and 10% at home. Now, he didn't say that it has to be exactly that split now, but he said most of it is going to be on the foreign. I'm keeping the same pattern, but there will be much that happens, of course, domestically and our church and other churches. But he said a lot of it is going to be because I've called you to the field.
That's right. Amen.
And then he chuckled. Jesus has a sense of humor, even if you don't. He said, I've called you to the field. That's what he did. I heard him laugh. And I said, oh, because I'm a field. And he goes, yeah. I know Jesse talks to Jesus that way, but I always thought he was exaggerating. But the closer I get to him, the more humorous he actually is. And special and sweet and kind and generous and strict and stern and rebuking. Oh, my God. You see a whole bunch of sides when you get to know Jesus. And so I've been meditating from middle of June to middle of January, which is exactly 6 months, what is about to happen. Because if he said that is an hors d'oeuvre, that is a taste, and the main meal is about to start, primarily on the foreign field, it means that I'm about to see an explosion of miracles and healings and signs and wonders that I have not seen in 27 long years. So I think it's important that I pray some of this out. So he said, the years of Elisha are ending, the years of Elijah have come. And I thought, well, that's just a timeline issue. That's got nothing to do with sermons or ministry or anything. That's just a timeline issue. Then on January 1st, Monday morning, as soon as I opened my eyes, I heard the phrase, the spirit and power of Elijah. Over breakfast, the spirit and power of Elijah. While I'm shaving, the spirit and power of Elijah. In the shower, the spirit and power of Elijah. While I'm driving, the spirit, hundreds of times between January 1st and when I got to California on Thursday. And it's going all the way through Thursday, Friday, while I'm in the meetings with Copeland. I just keep hearing that phrase, the spirit and power of Elijah. The spirit and power of Elijah. I said, okay, Lord, I know you're trying to get something over to me about the spirit and power of Elijah. I get it. I don't know what it's about, but I get it. And then she says to me, Sunday afternoon, you're preaching in the morning. My heart stopped. I fell off the bed when I woke up. I said, oh my God, what am I going to preach? I had a sermon on the blood. He said, you're not preaching that. Then I had another good sermon about prayer. He said, you're not preaching that either. I said, those are my backup sermons. He said, you're going to preach what I've been saying, which is the spirit and power of Elijah. I said, that's not a sermon, that's a statement. I don't even know what it means. He said, pray. So for 4 hours, most of the night, until 3 a.m, I prayed. I got back from the dinner at 10:55 p.m. I got into my pajamas, and at 11 o'clock, I sat down, and for 4 hours, I prayed out that sermon until exactly, I looked at my clock, it was 3:00, and the Holy Spirit said, go to sleep. And I got that message, and I preached that message Monday morning. And if you weren't listening, I preached that message, the spirit and power of Elijah, about how we are the forerunner generation. It started with Dad Hagen. It didn't end when he died. He sparked it. We're the flame of it, and we're the generation to bring Jesus back. And we've got to carry this message of faith. And so many ministers, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Jay, others had said to me, Pastor Jay specifically, he said, I've always wondered what it meant, the spirit of Elijah. And the spirit of Elijah and the power, said the spirit and power, that's Luke 1:17. He said, and I've never really known what it was. And he said, but when you said it, the Holy Ghost said, that's what it is.
Amen.
And then God said to me, the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of faith.
Yes.
And ye also having the same spirit of faith. That Elijah had that bold, that faith, that raw kind of aggression. That spirit of Elijah is the spirit of faith. You can't have the spirit of faith if you don't understand the message of faith. Which means he understood how to trust God. He obviously preached trusting God because he had the spirit of trusting God. That's the spirit, but what about the power? The power is the moving of the Holy Ghost and the demonstrations and manifestations of God and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. So it was the message of the word, that's faith, and the spirit in that man's life. And we are carriers of it. Are you with me? So I didn't even connect the dots till I got in the hotel room. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, did you notice? He always says that phrase to me because obviously I didn't. He said, did you notice? I told you the years of Elijah have come. And did you notice the first message I gave you was about the spirit and power of Elijah? I said, Lord, I didn't even connect the completely forgot about that because I'm thinking timeline. This is a timeline issue for our local church. It's got nothing to do with ministry. But he's mixing it. And he's saying, it's the timeline, yes, but the time of Elijah has come, but the sermon of Elijah has come, and the spirit and power of Elijah has come. And this thing has come, boy, whether you see it or not, this thing has come. It started in January 2024. Shoo! The last day of the 40-day fast, the last day. I won't read the scripture, but he gave me a scripture. I looked it up in the Hebrew. It's a scripture Dr. Dufresne would use a lot. And I looked it up, and what it said was that this fresh anointing that would come on people would be distinct and notable to others, that they would recognize it as different. And the Lord said to me, this anointing, this mantle, it's going to take some time. I didn't know at that point it was going to take 3 years. But he says, it's going to take some time. That's the 3 years. He said, but it's going to start becoming notable. It's going to start becoming distinct where other people recognize it. Yeah. I get back to the hotel room on Monday afternoon, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, did you notice that people notice the anointing? Yeah. Not to puff me up, no way. But that anointing is becoming notable and distinct. Yeah. That's not my doing. That's God's doing. Yeah. That's a fulfillment of the scripture he gave me on the 40th day of that fast. He said, just be patient. I didn't know it was going to take 3 long years. It's taken 3 long years because we've been an idol. But as soon as gear one checked, as soon as that thing started moving, within 1 week. And Pastor, so privileged, honored me to be able to lay hands on those great ministers, many of them greater than me. On that last service, that is the anointing becoming distinct and notable and more public. Even when she was here, she said, and she doesn't even remember saying it. She was in the spirit. Sometimes she doesn't remember saying things. But she said, come and pray for Grant, Pastor Craig, when she was in our church. And she said, lay hands on him from your mantle of authority. She doesn't even remember saying that. But out of her spirit came the words mantle. And the Lord said to me, don't talk to people about the mantle. Don't say that you're anointed with a mantle. Stay quiet. I will show others that you're anointed. At the table this week, one of the pastors there said, it seems like there's a mantle on you. I didn't say a word. I didn't say, oh yeah, well, I've been waiting for you to. I didn't say a word. I just said, oh, well, praise God. Praise God for that. There is. Dr. Dufresne saw a mantle and it came and did in 2020. What I'm trying to say to you is that this year, this is the year of Elijah. And immediately the message is about Elijah. The words mantle are being talked. The notableness and the distinction of the anointing is becoming recognized. Not for my sake or glory, but because God is promoting this ministry for his glory and not for mine. Are you still with me? And it's all happening now. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end there. I have some things to tell you. I've just talked about praying out the international. But I need to talk to you about the domestic, about this local church, praying out some changes. Because I'm going to be making some changes here. Because there are things that are attached to me, assignments, comings and goings, responsibilities, pressures, that if I don't get rid of them, they are going to affect this church moving, accelerating at the pace God wants. And they're also going to affect the international accelerating at the pace God wants. And it's going to therefore affect our new building. It's going to affect a lot of different things. But I'll get into that another time, maybe the next time, not this next Sunday, because David will be preaching, but the 28th, I'll probably get into this then. And it's important you hear that. But I just want you to know that in this beginning season, just focusing on the international, she said in June, go look at what's happened is going to start coming to pass again. And I'm looking at what happened in 5 years, and I'm preparing for something that's about to happen. Amen. Immediately, this years of Elijah have come, the sermon of Elijah comes at the same time. You couldn't make that up. Mm-hmm. This notable change that other people, without me saying anything, are noticing. Yeah. Now, last thing before I close. On the Wednesday night, when we had ministered to the sick, that anointing came on me kind of strong. And normally it's just for the healing anointing, and that is not strong. And I couldn't understand, Lord, what is going on here? My hand's burning. Now that's the healing anointing, but there's like a aggression on me. And I don't normally feel that when I pray for the sick. And I'm like praying for the sick, and it's kind of forceful. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Why is this here? Because I'm thinking the healing anointing. Yeah. And then Pastor Nancy whispers to me off the stage and says, minister to my nephew. My God, It wasn't me. I don't even know what happened. I don't even remember what I said. But words came out. I can't even remember what I said. But the Holy Ghost threw me like a lion. I lunged at that young man, grabbed him, and started saying whatever I said. He went down, picked him up, did it again. His wife came. She went down. And I kind of almost shaking myself. What just happened? Because that's not me. But that was the anointing of boldness and impartation. And it came and I didn't expect it to come. So then Pastor Nancy, then I kind of go back to my seat because I can feel that power and it drains you quickly. And I'm standing at my seat, and then she says, now everybody listen to me. Only senior ministers, only lead pastors, no wives, no secretaries, no associates, only the senior ones. Come up, Pastor Craig's going to lay hands on you for an impartation for boldness. Now, in all the years I've been with her, that's never happened. And I'm just kind of standing at my seat a little bit trembling because of what she said, but also because that anointing, I can feel it on me. And so I go and I just said, Lord, in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to do anything that offends her, that offends them. So I'm just going to shut my mind off and I'm just going to, whatever happened with this young, her nephew, whatever that was, because I don't even remember what I said or what I did. I just know something happened and it was not me. I'll just yield to that flow. And that anointing, I'm telling you, it was like, shoo, came on me like a garment. Man, when that comes on you, you can do anything. You don't have to try, you just do. And I don't even know if people were falling. My wife told me that later everybody seemed to, not that that matters, it's not what I gauge it by, but the anointing was very strong on those pastors. Bang, 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 bang. And then I felt like I was going to pass out. I had to hold on to the railing because my legs were about to give way. Now that only has happened to me in Africa. I mean, that anointing was strong. And then I did another line until they're all over. Then I'm hobbling back to my seat. And she says, Pastor Craig, come here. And she begins to prophesy. And we got it written out there, but the gist of it is I don't really want the gist of it. Because my Jessica, I know it's 12:10. Just your chicken's fine. Just relax. Two minutes. Jessica, you did send it to me. Okay. Jessica, I got it. I'm not an idiot. I got it. Thank you. This is what she said. While I'm standing there after that ministry, she said, where you go, God will assign you to impart to those ministers that he sends you. Wow. Everywhere, but especially in foreign countries. Wow. Make sure you obey him in that. Wow. What is she saying? You're going to impart. What? What I just imparted to all of those senior pastors, which was the spirit of boldness. And now she has just publicly, by prophecy, confirmed, and Pastor doesn't say things lightly or often. When she says it, you can take it to the bank because she doesn't say much. And she's just said publicly, you're going to minister and impart, she used the word impart, to ministers specifically, ministers, not just people, in foreign lands specifically. And I heard the Holy Ghost as soon as she spoke. I went down while I guess she was waiting for me to stand up to finish the service, or to start preaching. But while I was down there, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, now I've been trying to get over to you to focus on pastors' conferences when you go overseas. Wow. And not just to go to churches. Because to go to a church, you bless the people, but there's only one minister. When you get 300 pastors, you've got 300 congregations. And I'm trying to speed this up, son. He said, I've been trying to, that doesn't mean you can't go to churches. He said, but I've been trying to get you that the focus is pastors' conferences. And I've just confirmed through your mother that you are to impart to ministers on the foreign land specifically. And he said, now listen, he said, now you have these messages that I've touched your heart with and you've got a message to bring. He said, but you have never, he corrected me lying on the floor. He said, you've never connected. You know what to preach. But he said, you don't know what to impart, boy. He said that to me. He said, you know messages to preach. And he said, you've got a healing anointing to minister to the sick, but you don't know what I've assigned you to impart. And you've never asked me. He doesn't like it when you don't ask him. He corrected me for not asking him. I should have asked him, Lord, what is my assignment? What is my job? What do I impart? I know what to preach, but what do I impart? Preaching and imparting are different. Imparting is by the laying on of hands. You can impart through a message, but there's a distinct impartation by the laying on of hands. And I've never asked him that. And he was upset with me that I never asked him. You see what I'm talking about? Laying before God, waiting on God, talking to God, praying things out. Because if I had prayed things out, he could have got it over to me earlier. But he didn't. So he said it to me on the floor. He said, your anointing is to impart boldness. And I've never seen that before. And Pastor Nancy said to the people, she said, my husband imparted to Pastor Craig the spirit of boldness, and Dr. Sumrall imparted to Dr. Dufresne, my husband, the spirit of boldness. That's what she said before I started ministering. And I'll just tell you this before I close. I was at Pastor Jay Eberly's church. I think it was a year before he died. And he called different ministers up to minute. And I'm just standing there. I'm standing there just like a normal person. I don't know where he's down there ministering and he's coming. He's not even that close to me yet. It's not like he's right here and you know you can hear that he's right beside you. He's down yonder. And all of a sudden, I'm just minding my own business. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm just open up my heart to receive whatever the prophet has. And if he corrects me, I will not be offended. And I'm just doing my little thing under my breath, just getting ready. And somebody ran me over with a car. No, I'm serious. They drove a car into the building and ran me over. Because something hit me from behind and I fell flat on my face, and it felt like a Mack truck had run me over. I mean, it actually, part of it physically hurt, but I knew what doctor had done. He's ministering, and then the Spirit of God fell on him, and he ran past the other ministers, around behind the other ministers to where I'm standing, and hit me on my back with both hands as hard as he could, right on my shoulder blades, and said, boldness. Now, I can hit you as hard as I want, and I'm a pretty tough guy, and you'll go down, but it won't feel like you were run over by a car. I actually thought somebody had run me over. I was lying on the floor. I couldn't move. Part of me was in pain and part of me was in shock. And I'm thinking, what just happened? What just happened? Who hit me? I felt like a wall fell on top of me. And I said, but I know my mind's trying to catch up. I'm thinking, I know he laid hands because I heard his voice behind me saying boldness. But then something ran over me. It felt like I'd been run over. It was not a manifestation of hands. Something in the spiritual realm impacted me with such force, it felt like a vehicle had run me over. It took me a number of minutes just to stand up. I thought I would be in agony because as I'm lying there, I'm feeling physical pain as well as the overwhelmness of the spiritual moment. But as soon as I tried to stand up, there was no pain. I got up thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to the chiropractor. I mean, because I was in a state on that floor. But it wasn't actually physical pain, which I thought it was. It's a very weird experience. It was the power of God on me so strong that it almost felt physical, but it wasn't, because as soon as I tried to get up, there was no pain. And I've never forgotten that experience. And I've not prayed about it the way I should have. That's why he rebuked me. But I've always said, I was pretty bold to begin with. Why did you decide to do that? He's never answered me except on the floor. That was the first time. And he said to me, that was an impartation. I did it so dramatic that you felt run over, because I needed you to know it wasn't just a man saying boldness. It was God Almighty that put something on you called boldness. And he said, you should have talked to me about it. And you didn't. But now the time has come for you to impart that. And now your spiritual mother is confirming it on the live stream and to all present. I want you to know something, brother and sister. I'm saying this for a reason, because we're praying out some things for this year. And I'm focusing on international, but I'm going to focus on domestic the next time. Because your main deal is the domestic, not the international. But you've got to know what's happening in the international. Otherwise, it'll affect your ability to understand my job as an apostolic pastor. I'm not pastoring this church as a pastor. I'm pastoring it as an apostolic pastor. It's different. And I do have to go from time to time. And you're going to be in good hands when I'm gone. But I want you to know there is an impartation to minister to pastors for the spirit of boldness. And I'm telling you, most people today need boldness, especially when they're facing witchcraft, when they're facing governments that are threatening to kill them and execute them, and all the stress that they're under. There needs to be an impartation of boldness. There needs to be the message of faith. There needs to be that spirit and power of Elijah. And he has told me one of my main assignments is to go into foreign fields and do this. But he's also told me what you saw in the first 5 years was an hors d'oeuvre. And it's more than what I've seen in 27 years put together, which shows me that as I go, as you send me, we're not just imparting boldness. We're not just bringing the message of faith. We're also going to see signs and wonders like I personally have never seen before in my life. And part of me just wants to Just get on that plane and go tomorrow, because I have such an anticipation of what's about to happen. But I know I've got to be calm. I know I've got to strategize this and do it carefully. And I'm just focusing on the international for the moment. We'll focus on domestic next time. But I want you to know things are happening. God's hand is on us. This thing is out of idle and into first gear, and things are starting to turn. Things are starting to turn. If you ever watch Here Comes the Boom, has anybody watched Here Comes the Boom? Things are starting to twist. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a clean movie. Go home and watch Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James and Twisty. Just when you hear Twisty, you'll think of Pastor Craig. Things are starting to twist. In other words, things are starting to fall into place. Things are starting, my brother and sister. I thought I'd be preaching this kind of message in June. I didn't think the first Sunday of the year that we'd be talking about how things have already started. But God's not wasting time. He's on an agenda. He's on a fast track. He needs to get this job done. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Even with the changes that we have in the staff, with the music, with different things, Lord, we are in your perfect will to do it. Father, even with the changes that I'm dealing with the local church, which I'll talk about in a couple weeks so that they know what I'm referring to, we are in your perfect will to do it. There are things that I have put my hands on that I shouldn't have because of a lack of extended seasons of prayer. And it seemed good, and it seemed exciting, and it seemed right, but it was permissive, not perfect. And those things have now attached themselves to me and have become a burden to me. And if I'm going to run, I need to lighten up. If I'm going to run, I need to get certain things out and get other things in. I need to accelerate with this church and accelerate with FMI Go. There is much to do for the kingdom. There's much to do for the gospel. We don't have the luxury of having anchors and weights around our ankles any longer. And so, Father, we are all in a season of waiting on you to know individually and corporately what we need to change so that we can accelerate and run without hindrance. And Lord, we are running. If you're doing this already with the international, Lord, how much are you not going to do for this local church? You will not leave Promise of Life Mississauga out to dry while the international flourishes and blossoms. Lord, this local church is about to explode. We're about to see the presence of God, the power of God, the increase of God in every facet of this local church. And this local church, I say it, it will blossom and bloom. It will blossom and bloom. This year will be the beginnings of blossomings and bloomings in this local church. And if you're going to bless the other nations, how much more will you bless this house that has sent me to those nations? This house that has been faithful all these years. This house that has not quit and has stayed with the word and the spirit. Lord, it's not just the international. Yes, I'm excited about what's going to happen, but this place is about to explode. The season of Hebron will see increase, so help me God. And we will see the beginnings of it this year. So I thank you that you fill the seats. I thank you that, Lord, we'll get to the point eventually. I'm not sure if it will be this year, next year, the year after, but we're going to get to the place where if people don't come early, they don't get a seat on Sunday morning. Where if people get offended and think that they're going to really hurt me by leaving, we don't want anybody to leave. But Lord, it will be like what doctor said, well, good, I need your seat. Because there's so many people ready to take that seat. Father, this place is go. I say it by faith and by the Spirit. This place, this church in this city is going to explode. Amen. I don't control when, but I do know that the hand of God is on me. The hand of God is on this congregation. The hand of God is on the international. The hand of God is on the domestic. And this is the year of the beginnings of increase. And we are in first gear. And that apostolic mantle does not just apply to foreign fields. I'm an apostolic pastor, and it applies to this church as well. And if we're gaining traction internationally, we have to gain traction locally. We have to make forward motion locally. You can't have one without the other. Father, both are happening at the same time. Both FMI and Promise of Life are happening at the same time. So I thank you for it. Let these people feel strengthened today. Let them feel encouraged today. Let them wonder and feel in awe at your goodness and your kindness of what's just happened this last week, as I do. And let us put our seatbelt on and hold on tight, because the ride's beginning. The ride is beginning, and the increase years have come. and the Elijah years have come. And the spirit and the power of Elijah has come. And we're going to get skillful with it. And we're going to learn it over these months and years, Father. Bless these precious, Lord, that all the snow and all the wind and all the everything, they still put you first. And they made the effort to come to church. And I thank you for their faithfulness. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And let them leave today knowing that they qualify for this increase. It's on me. It's on them. They're this church. They are the church called Promise of Life. Let them put a demand on it. Let them wait before you and pray and get things out and get things in so that they are positioned for that increase. I give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.